down towards the near corner. Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller, right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas. Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Tuesday. Clayton Hamilton and Frank Harnish winding up one holiday. Christmas being over, getting ready for the start of Kwanzaa today. And then a Happy New Year a week from today.
Yeah, a lot going on, obviously. So hope everybody had a good Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, enjoying your Kwanzaa, whatever it is you're celebrating this time of year. But we've been celebrating a lot around here because the Vegas Golden Knights are absolutely in fuego and arguably the biggest story in all of sports right now, at least in the United States.
Certainly are, and not just the biggest story in town, but national outlets starting to pick up on them, even outlets that don't cover hockey so much starting to pick up on how good this team is. And another question mark was answered, Frank, on a Saturday night with a 3-0 victory over the Washington Capitals at T-Mobile Arena, and in a game that the Knights just blitzed them in the first 10-15 minutes.
Yeah, they got out of the gate fast. They did what they needed to do. They got that 3-0 lead. Then they just kind of, I'm not going to say sat back, but from that point on, it was kind of even from the shots on goal and everything else. But Marc-Andre Fleury, they basically rode him. He got his first shutout as a Vegas Golden Knight, I believe his 44th of his career, showing again why he's one of the best goalies in the league. And Vegas gets another victory, now tied for first place in the Pacific Division. But in reality, are they tied or are they ahead? Because they have three fewer games, or three games in hand, as they say in the NHL. So things are looking very good for the Knights, and we will see the Kings after we see the Ducks tomorrow. So, and that is a game that will be on NBC Sports Network as well, as you can probably expect them to try to find new ways to slip in more Vegas Golden Knights games as the season goes on to get them more national exposure.
And we will be with you all the way for that. So we'll have the pregame show at 6:30 tomorrow. We'll be at Born and Raised in Henderson. And then 6:30 again on Thursday from Parkway Tavern up there at the 215 in Flamingo. So come on out and say hello and join us for the viewing parties for both the Ducks on Wednesday, the Kings on Thursday, and yet another test. And every time we turn around, Frank, it's what's the next step? What's the next test? What's the next hurdle to clear? Now the next hurdle, back-to-back games, division games in L.A.
Yeah, and guess what? The last game against Washington wasn't the Vegas flu, because Washington wasn't here long enough to get the flu. They came in from the night before. So now people are saying they were tired from playing back-to-back games. There's always an excuse for the naysayers. Now I've been reading today about some stuff. Well, 10 of the next 14 games are against teams that are currently in the playoffs right now, so that'll be a test for the, you know what? Every night is a test. Every team you play is an NHL team with NHL caliber and quality players. This team has passed test after test after test. They have a lot of road games coming up. They have some quality teams coming up. But guess what? They just played a bunch of quality teams as well. It's a good team. I hope they all had a very happy holiday in that. And I think they'll come back and hit the Southern California, and they're playing two division opponents. And the Ducks are getting healthy. They're an improved team right now. Basically, it's been kind of weird for me the last couple of days. I've been watching a lot of NHL Network and the World Juniors from last year. They were showing some of those games. And, of course, the World Junior, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, is going on right now. But I've been watching hockey, but I'm kind of jonesing for the NHL games. But basically, the whole league took a little three-day, you know, hiatus from
holiday.
A little Christmas holiday. So, and good for them, you know what? Well deserved, and hopefully they all come back fresh. And it's going to be really weird that second week of January when we have our bye week and there's no NHL. There won't be nothing going on at the practice facility because they're not allowed to skate at all. So, I'm not sure what I'm going to do.
I'm going to catch up on some other teams, you know, and that's something that's important, as we'll look forward to whoever is on the schedule coming up in in the rest of January and February, but it's going to get busy right quick, February and March. It seems like a game every other day.
And, of course, by the way, that will be the next test. How do they come back after a week off when they haven't played together? Will the chemistry go away? Because there's always a test, it seems like.
And the thing that's funny about that is the difference between the best team in the league and the worst team in the league is really there's a small margin, Frank. I mean, the worst team in the NHL is still a really good team.
Yeah, and the worst player in the NHL is still a pretty darn good player. I mean, there's a reason for that. That's why, although Vegas didn't get first-line players from every team out there, we had NHL-quality players, and there were some really good players as well. That's why the Arizona Coyotes on any given night can beat another team, or even some of the wins that Vegas has against them went into overtime. There's still NHL quality players out there. It's a tough business, and what Vegas has done is unprecedented at this point. But it's also, the more and more I see it, the less and less it's starting to amaze me.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's almost becoming that expectation. The Washington game, I wasn't surprised by it. We just beat Tampa Bay. Why can't we beat Washington? Tampa Bay, we beat them. Whoa, that was like the final hurdle test to me.
Mm-hmm.
That now if anybody's still trying to find out reasons why they're not that good, then you're just a hater.
Right. Yeah, there comes a point when, like Bill Parcells used to say, you are what your record says you are, and the record says this is a pretty good hockey team. And I'm with you, though. I think there still are tests, you know, for them. For me, it's really going to be how do they play second, third time around against their division opponents.
For sure.
Being able to make those adjustments. But we've already seen an indication of that. Yes, it was Arizona. They beat Arizona four times. And what was really a big bounce back for me was the way they played against Dallas. To say, hey, Dallas made an adjustment for game two, but then the Knights made an adjustment for game three. So I'll be curious as they start to meet the Edmontons the second time or Vancouver, LA, to see how those games go.
Oh, without a doubt. There's going to be more tests. There's going to be tests every night. And there's going to be tests after that bye week when all of a sudden the schedule gets a lot more conducive and they're playing games every other night for 2 or 3 months. And when some injuries crop up, and I'm not putting the jinx on anybody, but it's part of the game. We've already seen some injuries. There will be other ones throughout the season when other teams get healthier, like the Ducks on tomorrow night. So there's tests over and over and over again. That's part of being a professional athlete. But what this team has done up to this point is amazing, and I don't see any big reason for a slowdown or a big change of the way things are. Right now, they are a huge favorite to make it into the playoffs. Right now, it would be an upset for them to not make the playoffs. And that's pretty significant and it's pretty amazing. But then, you know what? This whole team and this whole story is so amazing. If you would have said at the start of the season that this was going to happen and you tried to sell it to a movie company, even Disney might say it's a little bit too hokey for us.
It's been a fun ride, and hopefully that will continue. And they got off to a very good start in the 3-0 win on Saturday night against Washington, courtesy of Alex Tuck and his play of the game. Our play of the game is brought to you by Best Mattress, Best Service, Best Selection, Best Price Guaranteed, Alex Tuck's game-winning goal.
Here's the draw. Capitals win it going left to right. Breakout pass stolen away. Eakin sets up Leipzig. He shoots it. Rebound, score! Tuck! 17:23 to go in the first. Alex Tuck makes it 1-0 Vegas.
Alex Tuck with the 1-0 score. That held up, proved to be your game winner, and the result of hard work by Cody Eakin, by Brandon Leipzig, who we thought for an instant was going to crack through and get his first goal. Alex Tuck ends up with a rebound and puts it home.
Yeah, and Alex Tuck actually talked about that. We're going to hear about that in a little bit here as well. But Leipzig, and you know what? Credit to him. He keeps on playing hard. And you know what? If you're not getting the goal, be one of the guys on the assist. Be one of the reasons the team is winning. That's exactly what he's been up to this point. But Alex Tuck, who knew at the 2:37 mark of the game that would be the game winner?
Yeah, it was.
I didn't think it was going to be the game winner. I'm glad it was, and I'm glad we got three in the first period and that it played out the way it did. And I'm really glad that Alex Tuck gets his first game winner as a Golden Knight.
He certainly did, and as you had resulted, it was almost for Brandon Leipzig, who played so hard and had so many chances. And our own Chris Chapman caught up with Alex Tuck after the game, and he asked about the total team effort in that game and his thoughts on Brendan Leipzig.
No, I mean, I thought we had a lot of guys buying in. We had a lot of guys putting their bodies on the line, a few good block shots, and I thought, I mean, Flower led the way with that. He had an unbelievable game and got a shutout because of it, and it's got to be a good feeling for him, and it's a really good feeling for our entire team to shut out such a highly offensive team.
Your line for the first period, they looked like the best line on the ice. You know, there was a point where Brendan had more shots on goal than the whole team, but I mean, than Washington. Could you just talk about the play? You know, Cody and Brendan. You know, not guys who get a lot of like notoriety, but they work really hard. And just talk about what it's like playing with those guys.
No, yeah, I mean, we've found more and more chemistry, and we knew something was coming. We'd been kind of shut out the last few games, and was kind of getting under our skins. So we knew we had to come out hard and come out firing, and we're still trying to get Leipzig his first goal. We all really want it, and I tried to feed him. I fed him for the breakaway there. I really thought he was going to have it, and then he fed him for another little mini breakaway, and I was able to bury the rebound. It was still two good moves by him. Yeah, unlucky. I mean, it's bounces like that, but you just got to bear down, and people have seen longer cold streaks, honestly. You've seen a couple hundred game cold streaks probably, but I mean, Leipzig's a very offensive forward, and they'll come, honestly. As soon as one comes, they'll be coming tens.
Is this still kind of surreal for you? I mean, it's basically Christmas, and you guys are, you know, first place, well, depending on what the Kings do tonight, but just really exceeding expectations of what anybody would have had for you guys going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, every win we've built more and more confidence, and we've become a team more and more, and it's a good feeling. We don't want it to end. That's why we play so hard. We're committed, and this the next couple. Oh, Eric's hat. That's funny. Sorry. The next couple of days off will be nice for us, and we'll be able to regroup and come out really hard again. So I mean, it's a little reset for us, and because I think we're riding the high note right now, and we'll come back to planet Earth, and we'll play even harder.
That was Alex Tuck talking about the win and the effort beating Washington and trying to get Brendan Leipzig. Here's the first goal.
Yeah, and without a doubt. And you know what? Like he mentioned, he said he tried to feed him. So they're actually making an effort to try to get it. But you know what? If you're going to have a cold streak, and I'm not really sure that it's a cold streak because he's had some assists and he's been involved in a lot of the goals out there. But if you're going to have what people are calling a cold streak, have it on a team that's 23-9-2.
Yeah,
because then it's not such a big deal. They don't make it. You can joke about it in the practice. You can joke about it in a locker room. It takes a lot of the burden and the heat off of you when you're a first place team, and then you're not scoring goals. That's fine. But again, he's still a big part of it. But to Tuck's credit, when he does see Leipzig go in for that breakaway, he made sure that he followed him because he knows that, you know what? There's a chance that there might be a rebound coming my way, and then I will smash that into the back of the goal and get the game winner at just 2:37 into it.
That's right. And Chris, you were in the locker room after this one, and going into the break, you know, everybody's probably in a pretty jovial mood, pretty excited for it. What was the sense of the locker room and the feeling, like a relief that the homestand was over, excitement for the break, excitement for the way the season started?
The sense I got, and I got it from not only David Perron, also from Alex Tuck, a couple of other guys, they're not done. They're not satisfied. Yeah, they're happy that they're playing well, but they want more. And, you know, I think that really speaks to even Coach Gerard Gallant. You know, when we talked to him after the game in the press conference, he said, look, you know what, we're in first place. And, you know, it's like, but we still got a lot of work to do. And these guys are going to go home, enjoy Christmas. Like David Perron is going back to Montreal, which, you know, and he's going to, I guess, meet up with the team in California. But these guys they're hungry. You know, and while they're satisfied and they're happy that they're playing well, they're not resting on their laurels. And I think that's a really important thing, because some teams maybe with a little less experience would be, all right, we're going to coast now. We play 500 hockey the rest of the way. We're in the playoffs. These guys, there's almost like a sense of we're not happy. We're not satisfied. We want more. And I think that's a really cool thing to know that these guys have that attitude.
Well, it's not only a cool thing. It's a necessity for this team. They do have a chip on their shoulder, and they mention it. Each time, there's somebody else out there who's playing his former team, so everybody else has their back. Nate Schmidt, he may not have scored the other night, but he was playing his former team, and everybody on that team wanted to win for Schmidty to beat the Capitals and for George McPhee and other people as well. And you mentioned the mood in the locker room there. We noticed during that interview that he said, he kind of laughed for a second and was talking about. Now, we saw Happy Holidays shirts and sweatshirts and that kind of stuff that were in the arena, and you can see it on VegasGoldenKnights.com as well. But apparently he was referencing a particular part of the attire of Eric Halla.
Yeah, Eric Halla in the locker room, he had one of those, like, green and red, like, striped hats that, like, an elf would wear, and it had the elf ears on the side. And so, you know, I think there was a little – Eric Halla was a guy who he's a very serious guy. You know, he takes his hockey serious, but it was cool to see him in a jovial mood. And even Oscar Lindberg, after the game, had joked with me that he was going to have some glog on Christmas Day, because they were – I'm assuming he stayed in Vegas, and maybe the two other Swedes, Dansk and Carlson as well, and maybe the three of them got together and celebrated with some glog and – Christmas cookies and ham and hard bread and all the other good stuff that William Carlson told me that they do in Sweden. Goose. I think, yeah. Herring. They have
herring, yeah.
They have
herring.
Pickled herring.
Pickled,
right?
Pickled herring, yeah. Yes. For Christmas.
And we know that Pierre-Edouard Belmer was celebrating a special Christmas this year as well, because this will be the final Christmas that it's just him and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're expecting a new baby in the next week or so. So enjoy your sleep while you can get it. Pierre-Edouard Belmer. But Alex Tuch, not the only storyline in this game, and that was one Marc-Andre Fleury, Frank, who has now tied Oscar Danks for the all-time franchise record with shutouts, with one.
Yeah, and Marc-Andre Fleury, I'm sure that down the road, 10 years from now, when you ask who got the first shutout in Vegas Golden Knights history, someone's going to scream out the answer, Marc-Andre Fleury, and that will be incorrect.
It'll be incorrect.
Because Oscar Danks does indeed. Unfortunately, he got injured shortly after that, so I still think he is a good quality goalie that we might see down the road for years to come in a Vegas Golden Knights jersey, sweater, if you prefer. But Marc-Andre Fleury, who can be happy? I mean, what a great Christmas leading up to he's had. He beats his former team. He beats the team that he beats all the time in the Capitals. And you know what? If you had to, again, do the corny script and sell it to some movie place in Hollywood, would you pick a better team for him to have the first shutout against than the Capitals, the team that is a Pittsburgh Penguin? They dominated year after year after year after year on their way to the three Stanley Cups that he's won.
And Marc-Andre Fleury is your player of the game, brought to you by Brankus Team Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, because of saves like this.
One the other way, to the middle, Oshie, got down low, save with the left pad! Fleury stops Oshie on the right side.
And TJ Oshie's no joke when he gets alone. That's a quality save.
Yeah, and you talk about a guy, too, that's hungry, because he was just coming off a injury himself. He had a game or two under his belt, but this is another guy. And you know what? Kudos to the entire Vegas Golden Knights team. And we talked about it. This is a high-powered offense. I thought maybe they were a little bit flat in Arizona. That's why I thought they were going to come out in this game, because they were probably embarrassed, and I'm sure that they weren't happy about getting an overtime loss down there. Well, guess what, guys? That was a better performance than you had here in Vegas, because you didn't go to overtime. You didn't score a goal. You got shut out. Alex Ovechkin looked befuddled. Braden Holtby, who gave up three goals in the first period, was actually probably their star of the game, because that could have easily been 5-6 or 7-0, or maybe even worse than that. I mean, he made some spectacular saves in that game. Unfortunately for him and the Washington Capitals and their fans, it wasn't nearly enough. Because obviously, if you don't score, you can't win.
And you would think, as Washington was looking at their schedule when it first came out, that these back-to-back Arizona-Vegas is a place where they felt like 4 points on the road was certainly in play. They leave with just the one that they got down in Arizona. And Barry Trotz opened up about that after the game, talking about what it was like being sort of blitzed by Vegas right from the puck drop.
Well, we lost it really in the first 10. You know, we talked about this team, how they like to jump on teams, especially, you know, what you want in this league. We played last night. They want to jump on us early, and there's a great energy in this building. They got a real team that really competes hard on pucks. And, you know, we talked about to our players real quick, you know, about this team. Obviously, it was the first time seeing them. And we said, you know, if you're not ready for the speed and pressure, you got to play quick against these guys. If you're not ready for it, their speed and they you know, really compete on the puck, they'll just overtake you and they'll surround you and you'll and they'll buzz you and they really did. The first goal was just a play to the middle of the ice that we gotta make and we didn't make it and end up in the back of our net. But we really had to get through that first period a little bit unscathed, or at least being down a goal. After the first period, I thought our game was pretty good after that. I mean, a lot of our game was we just couldn't get past, you know, Marc-Andre. We had a couple looks. But they really compete. They'll make those desperation plays, and Marc-Andre Fleury thought real strong when he needed to be tonight. So, we lost in the first 10, and then, you know, the last two periods, I thought we were pretty decent.
You've talked about the importance of puck management when you're in the second game of a back-to-back. Was that, I guess, an area you were kind of...
Well, we talked about it, but it was more about their pressure on us. I mean, the schedule, this was one where the schedule got us a little bit, and we're coming out of the break, and we're going right back at it. We're on the road again. So, they did what they needed to do. They needed to jump on us early. They did, and we weren't able to get, you know, our feet back on under us to get close enough.
Power play hasn't done a whole lot the past couple of games. What are you seeing there?
Well, we're not executing. Some of our passes aren't there and our finishes, and, you know, we get a couple looks and we miss the net or whatever, and just not real sharp. When you need a goal right now, that it can be a real game changer for us, and it's been a big piece of what we do the last couple of years, and in this stretch it's been having a lot of them, and that has not been good either for us as well. So we'll just have to reset, and we'll have to just, you know, get it done.
Bolts kept it from being a lot worse than it could have been.
Yeah.
It seemed like they got behind your defense more in the first period than I've seen any team all season.
Well, they did. I thought our defense real early were real sleepy back there, and some of it's on them, some of it's on our forwards. Our forwards didn't give them a lot of support. We give them some odd man rushes, but a lot of the pucks to the middle of the ice that we made slow plays, and then they pick them off, and then they're, you know, we're trying to activate our D off of execution plays. You know, if you execute it, it enhances your speed. If you don't execute it, it just slows you down to a crawl, and you get swarmed. And our execution really wasn't good, forwards and D early. They got some really good looks there. They transitioned very well on turnovers.
What'd you make of the atmosphere, the building, all of it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I was in Nashville for a long time, and I think that has been the gold standard. I would say when they were asking me about, you know, what you wanted with an expansion franchise in a unique city like Vegas, just as Nashville was very unique, I said make it your own and do it your way. And I'll tell you what, it is a great atmosphere. If you're a player that's playing for the Knights, if you're not engaged or excited about playing in front of the crowd, they do a great job. It's no different than Nashville when I was there. There's an energy that comes off the street, the way the city's set up, and the people come in and they've got a good hockey team and they're into it. And you better be into it or you're going to lose a game. And we weren't into it real early and we lost the game.
As head coach Barry Trotz of the Washington Capitals, who even in defeat, complimentary of the atmosphere of T-Mobile Arena and the team in which he played.
And you know the one thing we're not hearing as much as the season goes on and more teams come in here to T-Mobile? You're no longer hearing teams saying that we were surprised at how fast they were or how tough they were or how gritty they were. The word is out in the NHL. Other teams know this now. Their coaches are telling their players, you better be ready for this team because of what they're capable of. And even knowing that and hearing about the atmosphere in that, they're still surprised and stunned a little bit, but they're no longer shocked, and they can't use that as the excuse of why they didn't perform well. The word is out. The secret's out. But it doesn't matter.
And winds up a really good homestand for the Golden Knights, 9 of 10 possible points, 4 straight victories. They will continue their season tomorrow night in Anaheim. 6:30 pregame show right here on Fox Sports, followed by 7 o'clock puck drop. Same schedule on Thursday from L.A., 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Kings. When we come back, Frank and I are going to take a quick look around the league. There is some news happening over the holiday break, and then it's about time to take a quick look towards Buffalo and the World Junior Championships. They are underway as we speak. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, as we wrap up the Christmas holiday in the NHL. Golden Knights back at it tomorrow from Anaheim against the Ducks, 6:30 for the pregame show, 7 o'clock for puck drop, back-to-back games, Frank, as they will stay in Los Angeles, play the Kings on Thursday, same time, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop. We will be at Born and Raised in Henderson on Wednesday at 6:30 and at 6:30 at Parkway Tavern on Thursday.
Yeah, and it's a quick road trip, but make no mistake about it. It's an important little road trip. The two games in Southern California, these are two division rivals. Two teams that are going to be rivals for a long, long time down the road. And two pretty good hockey teams. The Ducks have gotten off to a rough start, but a lot of that has been due to injuries. This team is getting a lot healthier, and they've been playing a lot better of late. And, of course, the Kings are the Kings. As long as Jonathan Quick is in net, this is a very formidable team and a tough team to beat, and the team that right now the Vegas Golden Knights are fighting it out for first place in the Pacific Division with.
Some news from around the NHL, and this could affect our viewing, Frank, and that is the Columbus Blue Jackets coming to town on the 23rd, which is 4 weeks from now, and Cam Atkinson is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken foot. He was struck by a slap shot from Seth Jones. His own teammate took some friendly fire.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, we've talked about it here several times, and I mentioned how scared I get sometimes when I see our guys going down to block shots. Obviously, this was not an instance where Atkinson was trying to block the shot of Seth Jones. He was in front of the net. A shot came in. It hit him in the wrong place, and that's an injury that we see more and more happening these days. These guys just tee it up, and they just let them rip, and when it hits a bad part of the body, bad things happen. I hope he plays in the game. I like Cam Atkinson, and I want to see the best out there that comes into T-Mobile. But you know what? That'll happen or it won't happen down the road in 4 weeks. What I am happy about is that it looks like Austin Matthews will be playing on New Year's Eve Day, and that I'm excited about seeing him come to town.
Yeah, Austin Matthews back in action. We should see him on a New Year's Eve. Cam Atkinson struggling a bit this year after signing a 7-year, $41.125 million contract. Just 13 points, 6 goals, and 7 assists through 32 games. He had 35 goals last year, and it's gotten so rough for him that Tortorella sat him as a healthy scratch against the Coyotes on the 9th.
Yeah, and it kind of seems like maybe they're having a little bit of chemistry issues in that there. They were having a hard time finding a place for Artemi Panarin to fit in. Of course, the new addition from the Blackhawks for the Blue Jackets. And you see that sometimes when you have new pieces come in and other guys go, sometimes things are a little bit different, which is, again, one of the things that makes what this Vegas Golden Knights team, what they're doing, is even that much more miraculous with the fact that these guys haven't played at all together before. But make no mistake about it, Columbus Blue Jackets are still one of the quality teams in the NHL.
And they're going to have to weather the storm without Atkinson, as well as Zach Werenski, who is out with an upper body injury, Ryan Murray as well, and they've lost forward Brandon Dubinsky and Alexander Wenberg as well. So a lot of guys on the shelf for Columbus.
Yeah, and something tells me that just means that more and more, maybe even more than usual, they will be counting on the guy between the pipes for them, Sergei Bobrovsky. Whenever you have him in goal, to me it's kind of like with Montreal with Carey Price. He always gives you a chance to win a game. But you don't want to rely on him too much and expect him to have too big of a workload. That's the one thing that always does scare me if I was a Blue Jacket fan, is Bobrovsky plays so many games, and at what point does a goalie kind of get worn down?
There's been some goalies with a pretty good weeks, Frank, that landed themselves on the three stars list. The first star of the week, Tuukka Rask in Boston. He went 3-0-0 with a 1.3 goals against average and a .954 save percentage to guide the Bruins to a perfect week.
And good for Tuukka Rask. I've always kind of liked Tuukka Rask. I think he is a quality goalie. When we were doing our look around the league before the season started, I remember talking to our reporter from the Boston area, and he was saying how the fans there were kind of disappointed in the year before, that he started out good and then he had a bad season last year. And this year he started out not playing very well, but he has picked it up of late and he is playing better. Tuukka Rask, when he's on, is as good as pretty much almost any goalie in the NHL. But like anybody else, when you lose that confidence and things aren't going your way. It's a very mental position. When you're not feeling that confidence, you can get lit up like a Christmas tree.
And that was Fluto Shinzawa.
Fluto, yes.
Of the Boston Globe, who was high on Tuukka Rask, even though the fan base perhaps not so much. Matthew Barzal, number two star from the New York Islanders, 6 points, including a league-high 4 goals in 3 games. But just like the Islanders, and how many times do we do that? Every time I do this with the Islanders, Frank, I'm like, hey, they had a great guy, but they only got 3 of the 6 possible points in the standings.
But at least when he had his hat trick the other night, they did win that game, and that was actually Saturday night because I remember talking about it during the Capitals game, mm-hmm. and you had mentioned the fact that the hattie for Barzal there in the Islander game, so good for him in that game. I'm still thinking the Islanders might want to be one of those teams on the outside of the playoffs. They might be in the run for it, but I don't think this is a really good team, but good for him.
And you sort of feel like even if they do rally, they're just going to rally to be swept in the first round.
Yeah, it's like, let's rally for elimination.
Right. But hey, brighter days ahead for the Islanders when they get that new arena out there at Belmont Park.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what that does with the fan base in the Barclays Center if they already don't like it. And we know that there's at least one reporter here in Las Vegas that is not a big fan of that arena at all for hockey.
Yeah, they're always fun, the Islanders.
There's a car in there.
They belong on the island, even though, you know, the difference between having to get all the way to Belmont Park versus where National Coliseum was, it's a pretty long drive for a lot of people on the island, so we shall see.
I thought nobody had cars in New York. That's what I've always heard.
Yeah, I know on the island you do.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, but it's weird because you got to take the car to the train and then take the train into town, and then you got to take the train back from and then get in your car and drive.
No, forget all that. If then in this case, I'm going to go to New Jersey and see a good hockey team these days.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, but that's Square Garden and, that's a little far.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but you can get the Heisher sandwich.
If you can take the helicopter, you're okay. But, yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah, that's not in my budget.
To get from one spot.
Now, if you live in Manhattan, you could just take the old PATH train right from Manhattan.
Yeah, but if you live in Manhattan, you're not leaving Manhattan.
You're not going to a Devils game if you live in Manhattan.
Yeah, no.
You're too elite for that.
Exactly. Come on. Don't be silly. Take a train to New Jersey.
Which is a much better place, of course.
Yeah.
Well, see, not being from there, I can make a ridiculous statement than that and not realize how ridiculous it is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely. Absolutely ridiculous. Third star for James Reimer of the Florida Panthers, another goaltender. He stopped 106 of 110 shots, compiling a 3-0-0 record, a 133 goals against average, 964 save percentage for the Panthers.
And what do we say all the time about guys getting opportunities? When you get the opportunity, regardless of how you get it in there, make the most of it, open the coach's eyes, and make it hard to get you out of the lineup. Roberto Luongo went down with an injury. He wasn't looking well. Everybody thought, oh, Florida, they're going to really struggle now. Well, Reimer comes in. He's the third star of the week. Has himself a real nice week. Gets some victories there. That's what you're supposed to do. You know, a lot of times in a city, the most popular person is a backup goalie. I don't know if that's the case in Florida because I know that they do like Luongo there, and he's one of the greatest goalies of all time. But when you get an opportunity, make the most of it.
Folks looking to make the most of their opportunities, lots of youngsters at the World Juniors, players that have been drafted last year, some players that are going to be on the draft board this year. The tournament has begun today. Began with Sweden getting a 6-1 win over Belarus and the Czech Republic downing Russia 5-4. In that Sweden game, our own Erik Brännström, a goal and an assist.
Yeah, and that is a guy, and if you haven't had a chance to see him yet, Google him, check him out a little bit, or at least just remember the name. This is a young hockey player who I think is going to be a big part of the Golden Knights' future down the road 4, 5, 10 years from now. I hope to see him around. He's exciting. He's talented. He's small for a defenseman, but that gives him a little bit more of an edge and a chip on his shoulder. He backs down from nobody, and he loves that breakaway pass, and he's got a pretty good shot as well. And he's one of the reasons that people think that maybe Sweden can pull a couple upsets in this tournament.
And right at the end of the second period, Canada beating Finland 4-2. Team USA gets underway tonight. They're going to play Denmark 5 o'clock on the NHL Network. And you can check out Jonas Rønberg from Denmark, who was the third-round pick of the Vegas Golden Knights as well.
Yeah, and Team USA, the favorite to win the tournament. They've never won back-to-back World Junior Championships. They've also never won a World Junior Championship on American soil. So they're trying to kill both of those birds with one stone, so to speak, this year, as they won last year's Junior Championship. They're about a minus 120 or a plus 125, I believe, to win the tournament. Mm-hmm. Canada right behind them at plus 160. So that is your big parlay. Those two are huge favorites, because then after that, the numbers get pretty big.
So as you start to watch this, and I know you're going to be pretty glued to NHL Network over the next couple of days to catch these games, well, who are a couple of players that you're looking, that you want to see perform in this World Junior?
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing Kyler Yamamoto for Team USA. I mean, he's a good young player. He's got a lot of talent, an offensive forward who a lot of people have high hopes for. He's one of the guys that I think is that I'm going to be watching to see what he can do.
I also want to see on Team USA Casey Mittelstadt, and he was the kid that was drafted by Buffalo this past year. He was he's from Eden Prairie in Minnesota, and he was probably, at the beginning of the draft cycle, one of those guys that thought might go one or two. And he struggled at the combine. He was the kid that could only do one rep at 160 pounds. He couldn't do a pull-up.
Right.
And has decided that he's going to go to college now and is now a freshman at the University of Minnesota. And he's had so much hype on him from the beginning. And it seems like every time he steps up in competition, he takes another step back. And I want to see whether or not he can rally against the best juniors in the world and make a name for himself in this tournament.
It'll also be interesting to see, because of those stories out there about him, do other teams try to get physical with him and knock him off the puck and try to knock him off his game because they think, well, he's not that tough. In fact, you might say he's a weakling. Some people might call it that, or what coach speak might be. So it might be interesting to see how teams play against him as well to try to make him, maybe make him mentally get out of the game.
He's one of those players, he's odd. He's like the anti-Cody Glass. Because when you look at Cody Glass, he looks kind of slight, but Cody Glass is way stronger than he looks. And this kid looks like he should be strong, and he's not. But he still has 5 goals and 12 assists through 19 games at the University of Minnesota. So the book is still out on Casey Mittelstadt. So that's the guy I'm keying on from Team USA. Who else are you looking at?
I want to see Team Sweden, because they have a bunch of players that could be exciting in this tournament. Obviously, Erik Bramström, want to see him. We got to know him a little bit at the development camp. But the one that everybody seems to be talking about on the defense, Rasmus Dahlin. Some people think he's going to be the number one pick overall in the upcoming draft. I mean, this kid has talent. He looks like he might have all the tools there. But there's other guys for Sweden as well. But just another reason that I want to see Team Sweden as a whole. But I want to see this kid up close and see if I see in him what I see a lot of the scouts have said about him.
Another guy to look forward to is goaltender Carter Hart for Team Canada. And we all know, is there any more pressure-filled position than goaltender for Team Canada? Thus far, he has acquitted himself well in juniors through 17 games. He's got a 1.32 goals against average, a 961 save percentage. He was drafted by the Philadelphia Flyers, who have pretty high hopes that he is going to be a number one goaltender and a goalie of the future. But he's small. He's a 6'1" goaltender, which in this day and age and world, we've seen so much bigger guys. And he feels like his slightness is to his advantage because he's quicker and he can make himself bigger with better angles. But you know how much scouts like a bigger goaltender.
Yeah, and it is interesting, too, the day and age that we're in now, when you're saying of a 6'1" guy is so small. And we hear it in football for quarterbacks. We hear it in hockey for goaltenders now, where the emphasis is on size, and athleticism, and basically saying, if we have this size, we can teach him the rest of the stuff. But Carter Hart is one of those guys. There's some pretty good goaltending in this. The goalie from Sweden, Gustafsson, he looks like some people think he's going to be one of the top goalies in this tournament. And the kid from Czechoslovakia, and I do not want to skewer his name, but Skarik is his last name. Jacob, whatever you call it, is J-A-K-U-B. But he's a kid as well that I hear a lot of high accolades. Some people think he might be the best junior goalie in the entire world.
And Czech Republic off with a big upset today over Russia, winning 5-4.
He didn't play.
But Filip Zadina, who looks to be a top 5 pick from the Czech Republic, he played in that game. As did first round picks from last year, Filip Hedl and Martin Nikas. And each one of them had a golden assist. So off to a flying start for the Czech Republic. But check out NHL Network all week for the World Juniors. When we come back, Frank and I are going to take a look at a team who could maybe learn a few things from advanced analytics.
Worst team ever.
When we come back right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnish riding through on Tuesday, end of the Christmas holiday break for the NHL. And you know, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes when you look at the stats for a team, you can look at certain stats like plus minus, and it doesn't tell you everything. But sometimes it tells you everything.
Sometimes it is an indicator. Well, you know, I was thinking, with the start the Golden Knights have gotten off to, the city's excited, and we're saying how that's never been done by an expansion team before. And I know that you are, unfortunately these days, a Cleveland Browns fan.
That's correct.
And the Browns are about to do what's only been done once in the history of the NFL, and that's go 0-16 if they don't beat Pittsburgh. So you would join Chris Wynn's beloved Detroit Lions in that capacity.
Yes.
So I was thinking, well, who's the worst team ever in the history of the NHL? And so I did a little research, and the 74-75 Washington Capitals were playing their first season in the nation's capital. They joined the league along with the Kansas City Scouts that year. The Scouts had 42 points that season.
It's respectable.
Which is twice as many as the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals for the season were 8-57-5. Luckily for them, they won two of their last five games to get to that record. On the road, they were 1-39. And Bill Mickelson, before he was mercifully sent down to the AHL after 59 games, had a plus-minus of minus 82 for the season.
Wow.
However, he did say, and he was very adamant about this, one of those goals, we were caught in a bad line change, and I hit the ice when there was 3-on-none against our goaltender. That one shouldn't count against me. The other 81, I was probably responsible for.
Wow. Minus 82 out of 59 games.
They also did have an instance. I believe it was their last home game of the season. They finally won. They beat the California Seals for their only road victory, going 1-39 on the road. After the game, they were so happy that they went over and grabbed a garbage can in the locker room and took it out on the ice and skated around with it and called it the Stanley Can, since that was the closest that they would have to skating around with something. So at least they had fun with it towards the end of the season,
wow,
realizing that, you know what, this just wasn't our year.
Yeah, that's not your year. Minus 82?
Minus 82 in 59 games.
Wow. That is... Wow, that's just tough, Frank.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's definitely not good.
Not good at all.
By the way, they scored 181 goals that year in 80 games, gave up 446. They gave up about 5.5 goals a game. But they did have one shutout.
They had one shutout, and they won the Stanley Can.
The Stanley Can was theirs.
That's incredible,
Frank. And there was much rejoicing.
I can imagine. Wow. You know... This whole year's been fun, Frank, and I'm glad we haven't had to suffer through that kind of start with the Knights.
You know, sometimes I shudder to think in the alternate universe someplace where the Golden Knights have had that kind of start. I'm assuming that you probably didn't see as much Golden Knights things on social media posted all over for holiday presents and things like that. But you know what? We're not in that alternate universe, so I'm enjoying the one we're in.
Yeah, I am too. It's been a fun ride so far up to the Christmas holiday, and more to come. That, as a reminder, we will be with you pregame and a postgame tomorrow night at 6:30 for the pregame. Born and raised in Henderson, come on by and say hello before the Golden Knights face the Anaheim Ducks.
The healthier Anaheim Ducks. But you know what? I think it's time for some duck hunting in SoCal.
Yeah, I like duck. Duck is delicious.
I'm not a big duck guy.
Really? Oh, I love it.
No.
So
little
good.
Peking duck.
So yummy. Stick with us. TC Martin. The Doctor is next.